With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Mark, I am so excited. Have you heard? 2O Queens is now selling merch.
I know.
We are talking t-shirts, hoodies, magnets, stickers, notebooks, wall tapestries. We've got 6 iconic, completely original designs created by the very talented Michael Lloyd.
Now, who doesn't want a bitchy pillow that lets you know that felt is a process?
Or a phone case that features Al Pacino in Cruising?
Or a onesie that says, eat shit, funny girl.
There's a link to the store in our show notes, or you could just go to tpublic.com, search for 2O Queens, and there we are.
And every month, 2O Queens will be donating 30% of our proceeds to a different charity. Right now, we're donating to the Okra Project. The Okra Project is focused on bringing home cooked, healthy, and culturally specific meals and resources to Black trans people wherever they can reach them.
So go buy some merch and be sure to take a picture of you showing it off and tag us.
Would it kill you to tag
us? Would it kill you? I don't think so.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's 2O Queens. It's 2O Queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. 2O Queens, it's 2O Queens. Now shut up.
Hello.
Welcome to 2O Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, I'm so excited about our guest this week. Please introduce her to everybody.
Well, she's an actress. You've seen her on Comedy Central. You know her from Shrill and Black Lady Sketch Show. It's a returning champion, Nicole Thurman.
Hey.
Thank you so much for coming back.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad to be back. It's an honor.
Please. Honor is all ours. So what are you doing? What is helping you keep or attempt sanity these days? Like, is there anything you're like... Is sanity possible?
I think it's possible. I think I almost am like, am I a sick person? Because I've felt, I feel like I've felt like 80% sane for this whole time. And so I'm like, I was like, oh, am I like sick? Do I like not, do I like, am I like some weird creepy loner?
Are you that a sociopath?
Like, yeah, like, am I a sociopath? I don't need people. I don't need touch and I don't need jobs. No, I'm just joking. I don't know. I've just been like, I feel like I like, I'm already kind of an introvert, so it's okay to be home for the most part, for the most part. But I mean, the internet is very helpful, you know. it's so lame, but it's like having social media, being connected with people online. I'm not a huge, like, I don't do a lot of Zooms or like a Zoom hangout or DJ things that people do. That's like, it's like a lot for me, but just being able to like talk to people online and stay connected that way. I feel like I can't even imagine if this had happened before that, before the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. People would have just read books.
I mean, I'm not reading no books. I'm not. Like, people keep recommending books to me, and I'm like, no. Yeah, I'm not knitting. I didn't bake bread. I didn't knit. I didn't do any of that stuff. Like, I'm too lazy. I don't know. But yeah, I've been like making videos, just like making, you know, making goofy stuff like that. And then I've been working a little bit. So that's been kind of, I feel very lucky whenever I get to work. So that's really great.
For sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's what's been getting me through finding, you know, whatever. I was gonna say finding people to flirt with, and then I was like, no, I can't say that. Finding guys to flirt with. No, I can't say that. But no.
Because then where do you go with it? You don't know. I think we might have been like, that's such a bigger commitment to like meet up in person now.
It's so weird because it's like are you gonna meet them in person? Are you not gonna meet them in person? When you meet them in person, are you going to like hug or talk? Like, and how close are you going to be? It's everything's like a weird navigation with people. And it's like that with friends too, because some people just don't seem to give a dang about anything. And then I'm like pretty, I feel like I'm pretty in the middle. Like, I always wear a mask. I'll like hang out with people and I'll go out, but then I won't like go inside someone's house necessarily or the car. Mm-hmm. Like, even in cars, like I'm just like, I'll drive and just meet you there, you know, like stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's very like, it changes every interaction. But I do think like for me, the thing that's made me the craziest is having to work out at home. That's like not for me.
No,
I hate it. And I actually really like working out, 'cause that was like my main social thing. 'Cause I don't drink. Oh, so sure. I'm just like, but it's
so. Do you like to take classes and stuff like that? Mm-hmm. Is that like how? Yeah, that would be really tough.
Yeah, I would take HIIT classes at this place in Silver Lake, and I loved it, and I went there all the time. And so then I was like shocked to find out I was enough of a gym rat that having to work out at home was like a huge problem. I was like,
ew. You don't know what you got till it's gone.
And I was like, ew, I'm so gross. I hate that about myself. But also, like, whatever. But yeah. So working at home, like playing a video or doing even a Zoom workout, it's just like I'm sitting in my living room sweating and like I'm like, I hate this. This is awful.
I have a game for my Nintendo that comes with like a ring, like a Pilates. I've been doing that workout. Uh-huh. And I do it in my bedroom with the door closed because I don't want my roommates to see me. But then it gets really hot.
Right. And you're in that tiny space too.
I'm in a tiny, but I also love that I don't have to drive anywhere to do it.
Yeah. That is the thing that I really like. But what's also hilarious about that is that I realize I can still be late to things. I'm like, damn, how is it possible that I'm literally late to something and it's in my living room?
I've done that because I think you feel like, oh, I have 2 minutes to get there. Yeah. Well, I can like get the laundry, you know, get a little snack in that time.
Yeah, you're like, I'm good. I don't have to worry about it.
We're still overestimating how much we could get done in the X amount of time.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I'm like, I'm just still running late. But it is very nice. Like if you have a meeting, you don't have to like worry about if you're going to be late. You're literally there already. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's been interesting. It's been interesting. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I definitely would never want to do this forever by any stretch of the imagination, but I've definitely been like making it, getting through it. Yeah.
Well, that we're happy to hear that. Mm-hmm. Speaking of getting through it during a quarantine situation, this is the last installment of our Queen's Choice where we pick the movies, and I picked Alien Covenant. John, what's the deal with Alien Covenant?
Mark, let me tell you the deal about Alien Covenant. It came out in 2017. It was directed and produced by Ridley Scott, written by John Logan and Dante Harper. It's a sequel to Prometheus, and it is the second installment in the Alien prequel series and the sixth installment in the Alien franchise. Very confusing. It features Michael Fassbender, Catherine Waterson, Billy Crudup, Danny McBride, and Damien, I think, Bashir. The tagline is, bound for a remote planet on the far side of the galaxy, members of the colony ship Covenant discover what they think to be an uncharted paradise. But while there, they meet David, the synthetic survivor of the doomed Prometheus expedition, and the mysterious world soon turns dark and dangerous when a hostile alien life form forces the crew into a deadly fight for survival. Alien Covenant premiered in London on May 4th, 2017. The film received generally favorable reviews, but underperformed at the box office, grossing only $240 million against a production budget of approximately $100 million. That's the deal with Alien Covenant. And how sad is it that a movie grossing $240 million could be considered underperforming?
Right. That's so crazy. It's like, oh, dang, they only made $240.
Now they're going to eat.
What a disappointment. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Okay, that description kind of helped me figure out more about what the movie was about.
There's a lot. It's like a weird thing of like, it's a prequel, but a sequel to the prequel. And
Yeah.
Well, I picked this movie because I think Alien, the franchise, is my favorite movie franchise. Uh-huh. And I do think that, like, even the worst, excluding Alien versus Predator, those two, the worst Alien movie is still better than most big-budget franchise-y tentpole things. Mm-hmm. That's just me. But I do not, and then Alien Covenant, I don't think it's the best Alien movie. I think it might be the gayest Alien movie. Okay. I also wouldn't go so far as to say it's like a great movie, but despite that, it is one I genuinely have probably seen maybe a dozen times.
Yeah.
I really am into this. It's because I'm into the character of David, who's Michael Fassbender's evil robot, essentially. And to me, he is essentially, because he's the thread between the first movie, Prometheus, and this mm-hmm. sequel, Alien Covenant. To me, he is the protagonist of this movie. And it is strange that the protagonist of this movie maybe doesn't show up until 45 minutes in. But I just want to see, how is he going to get off this rock? And how is he going to destroy every human and alien and the engineers in his path? So to me, it's like I think it's beautifully shot. It's art directed. It's gorgeous mm-hmm. to look at. The action scenes are all great.
Mm-hmm.
The aliens
mm-hmm.
are fucked up and scary. It's mm-hmm. really gory in a mm-hmm. pleasing kind of way. And it's got a really great iconic flute teaching scene.
It sure does. I know. Yeah. I took a pause there. I was like, okay, what's this? I was like, I see why they might have picked this movie now.
So, Nicole, this was your first time seeing Alien Covenant?
It's my first time seeing Alien Covenant. It was my first time seeing any Alien movie.
Oh, my God. Okay, wow. You poor okay. thing.
This must have been so confusing.
It was so confusing. And I have a really bad, like, it depends on the type of movie, I think. It's hard for me to, like, really pay attention sometimes. And fair so enough. I was like, oh, no, I've been looking at my phone for 20 minutes. What just happened? You know, so I kind of, I went in and out. But it was definitely, like, I realized I knew nothing of this franchise at all. Like, I knew nothing of it. Except for Sigourney Weaver, you know, gore.
She's in, like, the first four.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or did it make you want to see like the original ones?
Yes. It makes me want to see the original one for sure. Because I was just like, I don't know what's happening. And I'm kind of curious as to how this became like a classic franchise. And right. so I want to dig deeper into it. Yes. To know what's happening.
Well, I appreciate your open mind and your open heart.
I was like, woo! But yeah, no, it was good. But it was one of those movies where I definitely was like, I would watch it again to really latch onto it more maybe, but then also it was good. Like there was parts where I was just like, ooh, like I kept doing that. I was like, oh no, like when the alien popped out of the guy's back, I was like, okay, what is happening? This movie is crazy. And it's what you expect of the alien movies. So
right, yeah.
Yeah. It was fun.
Mm-hmm. John, what's your background on Alien Covenant? What's your history?
I saw it when it came out. I might have seen it with you.
That's what I thought. I thought yeah. we had seen it together.
I think we might have seen this one together.
Maybe with Olivia and Snow Norman, possibly?
That is
Maybe.
Not out of the realm of possibility. Certainly yeah. could have happened. I enjoy the Alien franchise. I wouldn't say like I'm a huge, not that I'm not a fan. I wouldn't say like I watch them a lot. When I think of Aliens, honestly, or the Alien franchise, the thing that my mind first goes to is when Aliens came out, Sigourney Weaver hosted Saturday Night Live and they did a very, what I would call an iconic sort of sketch making fun of Aliens. And this was the time of like Jan Hooks, Dana Carvey. It was sort of that golden era of SNL. So I always think of that. But yeah, this is probably the second time I have seen this movie. So it was interesting. I also want to say, like, when you said, like, he doesn't show up till 45 minutes in the movie, David, but he's in the prologue.
He's in the very opening scene.
Yeah, he's in the very
in the
opening
beginning.
Scene.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's yeah, what yeah. I thought, too. I was like, I thought he was in it. But then who's the other? The other one is a human.
That's Walter.
That's Walter. He's also Walter's a robot. He's a robot, too.
He's also a robot. Mm-hmm. But they've removed the, because David was flawed because he had the ability to create.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And humans wanted robots to be slaves. But David was like, no, I know I'm smarter than you. I'm going to live longer than you. I should be why am I answering to humans when I'm better in every way than you?
He's like, this is some bullshit. He's like, he's like, let me think about this. You guys want me to do work for you? I don't think so.
Okay. Exactly. You get it.
Fair. Now I get
so
it.
And so do you... John, do you and did you enjoy your revisiting of Alien Covenant?
I similarly to Nicole was confused at a lot of times and was like, wait a minute, what's happening? I think it's a movie. I agree. It's like very beautifully shot. I think it's a movie that's more about like themes and ideas than it is about character or story, which is why part of the reason why I think it's confusing.
Yeah.
That's sort of my feeling about it.
All right. Well, Nicole, as you know, we are looking for the gayest movie ever, and we have a very complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge these movies. We're going to go through a ton of categories, and then at the a midpoint, we will all collectively add a category that could
become canon.
Woohoo! All right. So we're let me just recap where we are right now. This is the current top five gayest movies ever. Number five at 78.59%, Bradley Cooper's A Star Is Born. Number four was 78.63%, Strictly Ballroom. Number three was 79.51%, Grease 2. Number two at 83%, Clue. And number one, current reigning gayest movie ever with a 94.83%, Female Trouble.
Female Trouble? Is that an old movie?
That's John Waters' movie.
Oh, I've never heard of it.
77? 74?
Ooh.
I think 74.
Yeah, 74, I think.
And Nicole, just to your movie that you brought in last September, Beetlejuice, is currently ranked 27th.
Oof.
With a 27 out of 60. So that's not bad.
That's not bad.
The scoring system has changed since you were last here. So it is possible that if we looked at Beetlejuice again with the new system, it might score higher.
Oh, yeah. What changed about it? What'd you guys add?
We move some categories around. We have categories that are just bonus. We have a bunch of categories that are on a wheel. You'll see. It's going to be quite a romp. Yeah.
A romp. I love it. I'm excited.
And now I should say I do not expect this movie to crack the top 10.
I don't think so either. I really don't think so either.
I don't think so either. But maybe 20. I'll go for 20. I'll be happy if it gets 20.
Sure.
Yeah. That would be cool. Yeah, I have no idea. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see.
So our first category, on a scale of 0 to 100, how homoerotic is Alien Covenant?
On a scale of 0 to 100?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, the big homoerotic is when Fassbender puts a flute into his own, the different Fassbender's mouth.
I mean, when have you ever seen such a thing?
Fassbender on Fassbender action?
Fassbender seducing himself.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I was, okay, real short sidetrack. I was watching that and I was like, I wonder if myself tried to kiss me, would I be into it or would I be like, that's weird? And not a twin, but like an identical, like if a Nicole came towards me, like would I try it out just to see what it was like or no? Anyway.
I think you have to try it once, right?
I think you have to try it.
I think you have to.
And people
and
always
are you being
say that,
homophobic if you don't?
I think you're being homophobic and in my case, racist.
Or self-loathing.
Absolutely.
So if like a white Nicole tried to kiss you, you'd be like, sure.
Yeah. Only if it's a white Nicole. Otherwise, I'm like not into it.
She has one C in her name.
Yeah, exactly. One C. Alabaster skin. So the Fassbender, because it wasn't just the flute scene, it was them, he kissed him too. So that's pretty homoerotic, I would say.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
It seemed to me, though, that kiss was more of a distraction before he stabbed him in the neck.
Yeah, it was more of a just like, it's actually a great distraction. I might have to try that for sometime. Just be like,
someone's trying to mug you, just like went in to kiss you, be like, what? And then they stabbed you.
Yeah, and then they're like, what are you doing? And I'm like, you're dead. so that was pretty, I mean, I think the
there was an element of David the whole time is kind of like trying to groom Walter to his like cause.
Yeah, definitely.
But it doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work.
And there is the statue of David in the opening as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's cool. I think that's not necessarily home.
Gets up
it's
there.
Not. This is not. Yeah, I give it 2 points for that.
I mean, it was probably the first example of something for gay people, for men to beat off to. I don't know. There's something.
David?
Like, it's a statue of David. There's something.
The statue
like
of David was.
Yeah.
Yeah,
not
definitely.
Prometheus.
You look up at it and you're
not Alien Covenant. Like, okay, yeah. I'm going to save this for later.
Yeah, you're like, put that in the spank bank.
So Nicole, if you had for 0 to 100, how homo?
Oh God, now I don't want to go too high because I remember I feel like it's like a 60 or 70, right? A 70 maybe.
70.
Right? Is that really high? I can't tell anymore. I never know.
In this quarantine, who can tell what numbers mean anymore?
Numbers mean nothing. Time is irrelevant. We're all maybe dead, maybe alive. We don't know. No, but I think maybe like a, let's say 67 to be like.
67.
Yeah, okay. It was pretty homoerotic, I would think, but only for a short moment. So.
Right.
Yeah, because of that, because it sort of is pretty much all Fassbender and, you know, like Fassbender on Fassbender, I'm going to give it a 33.
Oh, wow.
33.
It's okay.
I think I'm going to go 55. Okay. Because I think that scene is so good, though. Like, even just how it's shot and, like, I don't know how they did it. Like, you know, mm-hmm. It's beautifully filmed. I don't know. To me, the lighting is so, like, it is romantic and, like, I'll handle the fingering. Like, just it's so crazy.
When they say that, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I feel like even because I just was watching, like, the beginning scene again because I was like, where are we? What's happening? And even that scene where he's like, are you my father? And he's, like, pouring him tea or coffee or whatever. It's just, like, mm-hmm. There's something about it that's, like, very, like, sexy between men, I think.
There's, like, a power mm-hmm. play.
There's yeah, a power yeah. play, yeah. And then he's, like, wearing that jumpsuit. He's, like, a tight white. So I was like, mm-hmm. yeah, that's a little bit. Mm-hmm. So yeah, okay.
All right, giving an average of 51.67, which is higher than Windows.
Oh.
All right, next category, actual gay characters.
There are none, right?
There are two.
Oh, wait, are there?
Actually, there are two. The man who gets the wound on his cheek. He's in a relationship with a guy with a big bushy beard because he tells him at one point, goodbye, my love.
Oh, okay.
I didn't catch that.
I am also... know this is because I own the Art of Alien Covenant book.
Oh my God.
It was given to me. Someone got it for free. Our theme music composer Danny Cohen gave it to me.
Oh.
Well, if it was free, I'm not going to judge you.
Right.
Thank you. I mean, I would have bought it anyways. So there are two. And like, I think a case could probably be made for David. He is like a, I don't know that he's, I don't think he has any sexual attraction to anybody, but he is. He reminded me of like a more robotic Frasier.
Sure.
Yeah, like he's really into classical art and stuff.
I could definitely.
But
see
Frasier's
that, yeah.
not gay.
I know, but he might as well be. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. that show is basically a gay couple.
Yeah.
Him and his brother.
For all intents and purposes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Brothers? Are they brothers?
I think so. I've never watched Frasier. I don't know.
I haven't either.
If you need something to fall asleep late at night, that's mild.
Okay. Easy. Easy.
If Golden Girls is too edgy for
aggressive.
You.
Yeah.
Those barbs are too sharp.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
So what do you want to give for actual
two gay characters? So would that be, let's
not
give it
very
like,
prominent, though.
That's not very, not at all, because I didn't even think about it.
I didn't get that either.
So maybe like it has to be low, like maybe 20%. I'll do 10 for
20.
Each one. Yeah.
Yeah.
20.
I'll do 25, the extra 5 for Fassbender.
Oh yeah.
I'm also going to say 25. Getting an average of
23.33.
All right. Next category, camp factor. How campy is Alien Covenant?
I think it's pretty campy. Well, campy. I
mean, Fassbender
thinking,
doing scenes with himself, I think, is pretty campy.
Fassbender Absolutely. Doing scenes with himself is campy.
He's having a great time.
Just like the way he talked and like the move. I mean, I know he's a robot, but it felt a little bit like, okay, we get it. You're a robot. And there's something about like somebody really going hard on like playing a robot, like, and being like, I don't know, just the way he talked, it was a little campy to me. And then there's I feel like the scene where the alien like jumps out and there's blood everywhere and like somebody like slips on the blood, it's like felt like very extra.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's a little campy as far as like as a whole. Well, Danny McBride is campy also. His character's name is Tennessee. He's got that hat and he just like looks like a, you know, and then when the wife dies, he goes and like puts one arm up and he's like, like.
I thought about that this time. I was like, is that because he wasn't really like, maybe couldn't pull off that scene? So like, just cover your mouth.
Yeah, it felt really weird. I was wondering, as soon as he went into the other room and they were like, she's dead. I was like, oh, I can't wait to see this. Like, I don't know why. I was just like, I was like, I want to see him, like McBride, like
emote.
What he looks like, sad. Yeah, exactly. So mildly campy, but not very. I would say like, what's 35? It's pretty low, right?
35.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's also pretty, like, overall, it's not a campy movie. It has moments. So, yeah, I'll go 35 as well.
Yeah.
35. All right. I got a list of campy things I noticed.
Let's hear it.
Great.
All right. A robot waking up. And honestly, the Statue of David is campy. Yeah. A mean, disaffected father. Minimalist design. Guy Pierce's affectedness. A son he will outlive his father. Anytime people in outer space talk like they're on an old-timey sailing ship. A light-up drawer filled with embryos having a breakdown. A religious guy being a real drag. Passing a bottle around. Eavesdropping. Shooting a body out into space. An extended spaceship landing sequence. An indoor Mount Rushmore. Michael Fassbender letting his roots show. A character named Tennessee singing while cutting your own hair. The line, "Watch me, I'll do the fingering." Telling someone to apply pressure equal to the weight of a cigarette paper. And is there a bigger red flag than someone quoting Ozymandias? Billy Crudup acting the hell out of his chest burster scene. No one understands the lonely perfection of my dreams. And finally, Michael Fassbender regurgitating eggs.
Oh, yeah, that was crazy. Wow, that list is comprehensive. You got a lot on there.
So what are you going to give
it,
Mark?
It's no fun to watch movies anymore. It is certainly not the... I'm going to give it a 55.
That's pretty good.
Give an average of 41.67.
Do you have the highest? What's the highest?
We do. Female Trouble. And it's tied with Cats.
With Cats. Oh, my God. Okay.
All right. Our next category. This one might be tough. Over-the-top wardrobe.
Oh.
There's not a lot.
There wasn't a lot.
It's all pretty, like, militaristic and practical.
Yeah, right. It was like a lot of neoprene hoodies. But I also put, like, the unnecessary piping on Fassbender's unitard.
Yes.
You said, like, weird piping. I was like, you didn't need that. I don't mind it. But it was a little extra. And
you're
never
going to mind piping.
No.
We love a piping. We love a good piping.
It just frames the... It tells the eye where to look and how to sort of shape
and
things.
And you want Taylor's to find it yourself.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly.
I also think the spacesuit that Danny McBride wore early on in the movie, it was a shade of yellow that reminded me of the Sony Sports Walkmans that were very popular in, like, the 80s. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So I thought, like, oh, that was sort of over the top. I sort of like that. So I would put that in there as well.
Yeah. I feel like the outfit, the white jumpsuit that he was wearing at the very beginning. And then I feel like there was a moment where they're walking around with something that looked to me
like
a Ghostbuster
outfit. With, like, the
and
cameras.
I was like, that seems weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't even, something on their back.
Yeah.
And they looked a little Ghostbustery. And I was like, that's a strange choice. But so maybe, but it's still pretty low. Cause it was mostly just like army wear. The jumpsuit was the thing that stood out the most.
Right.
Or would you call it a jumpsuit or it looks almost more like a onesie to me on him.
Yeah.
But it wasn't.
I do like the bare the one that it's very Beast from the X-Men, when the one that cuts off at the calves. Yeah. He wore. I thought that was a fun look.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I could wear that around the house.
Look, that's a fun look. I like it.
Flip flops or something.
I like a little calf.
Yeah.
So what would you give this for? Or heels over the top wardrobe?
Need a little something. Over the top wardrobe, low. Probably like a 10. Let's say 10.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What were you gonna say? Do it.
I was gonna say, whenever I say a number, I get all nervous, and I want you guys to tell me if it's the right
number.
I'm always like,
whatever,
is that good?
It's the right number.
I know.
I'll give it an 18. I think it's pretty basic, but not in a way that's like. Not in, like,
practical.
Disappointing, like, oh, I wanted something.
It's basically
bigger,
like, what would people actually
pretty,
wear? And then you're like,
the level.
Yep, that's probably about right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give it 18 as well. Give an average of 15.33. All right.
I also do think the cowboy hat should be.
Yeah, you
got to
pack that.
A cowboy hat in space is a little
space.
Extra. Yeah.
Too much. All right, next category, drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch Alien Covenant and come away with a whole book of ideas? Yeah.
You know who, is it Shea Coulee? Is that how you say her name?
Yeah,
absolutely.
She would rock, like, the actual alien look, I feel like. Yeah. Like those little aliens when they were,
so
like,
crazy.
Dripping, they're like, like, there's something about that to me that says,
that's
like,
without
that
the
would
moment
make a badass
when the ship
drag queen.
Unfurls
so
its
be,
solar sails was very something drag queeny about that.
Yeah.
It's a reveal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like a lifting up your capes or so, your arms and that.
exactly.
Yeah, and I feel like just even the way the alien, like, I don't know how a drag queen would do it, but just like the aliens popping out, you know, like there's something about that that feels very like dramatic that I could see a drag queen being like, oh, I want to have twist. Something come out of my body as like a reveal on the runway or something like that. Yeah.
Exactly. Imagine coming all the way down the runway and then your chest explodes singles. With an alien.
tens across the board.
Making it rain, baby.
The aliens themselves, I think there's a lot.
Yeah, that's
there.
A good one. Inspiring.
I think the alien, yeah, there's something you could do there.
I really do. I think the alien is inspiring.
Just a little drippy blood.
A little blood, a little drippy blood.
So what do you want to give it for drag queen?
A little drippy blood. Yeah, so it's pretty good. I think it's pretty inspiring. 60. I would say I'm going to go 60. I'm going to go high on this one.
55.
I'm going to go 55.
60 as well. Okay. Give me an average of 58.33, which is more than Top Gun. All right. All right. Next category. From a scale to 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend this to gay people?
Gay people. I don't know why that makes me laugh so much, because I just can't. I can't. Even when you recommended it to me, I was like, huh? For this show? So I would say pretty low. I would say I don't think it would be one that I'd be like, you know what movie sure. you have to see
essential
as a gay person.
We're still 0 to
100. Pretty low. Wait, was the scale from 0 to 100 still?
Yeah.
On this?
Mm-hmm. 15.
I mean, 15, just to have a number, I think. I think it's got to be low. I think I don't know who right. I would recommend it to necessarily, so I don't want to say sure. 0, but I would say 15 just to say like... Mm-hmm. Maybe one time I would say just watch this.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's like if a gay person was like, if I knew they were obsessed with Fassbender and they hadn't seen it, I'd be like, you got to see Alien Covenant because you're getting some unitard realness with Fassbender here.
That's a great
But yeah, point. It is still pretty low even given that. I think that's the one thing that I'm like, oh, as a gay person, you need to know this. I think I'll go 15 as well.
15. I would say if you love beautifully shot sci-fi horror and uh-huh. a fun Michael Fassbender performance... You should see it. I'm going to give it a 45, but I feel a lot more okay. passionately about this yeah. movie than you guys, sure. and that's okay. Mm-hmm. I'm used to like, I like Ang Lee's Hulk, so I'm used to being on the outlier.
It's a, I feel like we don't see enough of Fassbender. I say that, didn't we've seen all of Fassbender.
He's been trapped in those X-Men movies.
Oh, is that what it is? Because I don't watch a lot yeah. of action movies, so that's probably why I haven't seen him. Because I was like trying to think of him the last time I saw him was... That shame movie, that insane movie.
Oh yeah,
but mm-hmm. I never see him in movies anymore. X-Men. Okay,
come back, Fassbender.
Come back, Fassbender. Do a rom-com, Fassy. Right? Come on. Why not?
Where he psychologically tortures a woman, probably.
Yeah, I'm sure probably. He'd find a way. He would find a way.
Nature finds a way, and Michael Fassbender does too. All right, the next category on a scale of zero, for 0 to 100, the male gaze. How horny is the camera for the male form?
Pretty horny.
I mean, for Fassbender, you do get some Fassbender. Nice little butt shots when he's in his unitard.
Yeah. And also, like, the crew is, like, almost universally good looking for
yeah,
the most part.
Yes.
And then
Jussie Smollett in the shower playing
that's
straight.
That's what I was just going to say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. Playing straight, which we, you know. I thought that shower scene was very hot, and mostly because of him, not because of her. And that's not because I'm Fair. Straight. It's because it was more focused on him, I think.
I think so. Mm-hmm. I don't yeah. think we ever see a boob and a bare boob.
We don't see a boob, maybe and we her. Kind of see him, like, him, you know, making her feel good. I was like, okay, mm-hmm. this looks good for her because of him.
Right.
So pretty horny. So the camera's pretty horny for dudes in that movie.
There is a great shot of the Statue of David's butt that is really in the foreground.
Statue mm-hmm. of David really getting some play in
He's
this
He's getting
movie.
A lot of act, yeah. a lot of screen time with the Statue
a
of
David. A lot of screen time.
Surprisingly.
I wonder if he has a SAG card.
I hope so.
So yeah, that's pretty high. I would say it's pretty high then. Maybe like a, I'll do 60, I'll do 70. I'll do 70.
70.
That's high.
It's okay.
But it's mostly guys, and I feel like they all were, like they all seemed very attractive. I mean, Guy, what's his name? Guy.
Billy Crudup?
Billy Crudup, and then Guy Pearce.
Danny McBride.
Oh, Guy Pearce.
Pearce. This is the very beginning. It's like Danny Pearce, they made him look a little rough because they had to like age him up.
Guy Who Pearce?
He's
in Prometheus.
He was in Prometheus.
And he was in this too.
Yeah, that scene that you see at the prologue of this movie takes place before
Prometheus to get even more confusing.
Gosh. The timeline on this thing is crazy.
So is he older in that prologue than he is in Prometheus?
No, it's the opposite of that. He's younger in the prologue than he is in Prometheus. Because that's like David coming alive for the first time. They're turning him on. And when you see him in Prometheus, he's been on the Prometheus ship monitoring for a while, the opening.
Guy Pearce or Fassbender?
Fassbender.
Oh, right. No, but I mean Guy Pearce is older in this than he is in Prometheus.
He's older in Prometheus.
No, older in Prometheus.
Correct.
You should put together a supercut of all the Alien movies in chronological order.
Yeah. I need a timeline on this. Look at you. You're like, well, now that somebody's finally asked me to do it, I will.
I've been waiting, John.
Sorry.
It'll be in your Dropbox in 2 minutes.
Oh.
Locked and loaded. John, what are you going to give Alien Covenant for the male gaze?
I mean, I agree. Fassbender, sexy Jesse Smollett in, Jesse, I think it's how it's spelled. But other than that, I don't think that everyone, like, I'll give it a 40.
40. I'm going to give it a 60 just because everyone's hot.
Yeah.
Give an average of 56 points, 67. All right. I think we're going to make up a lot of points here. Entrances with pizzazz. Your category.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. How fun. What a great category I had.
It has been one of our favorites.
I love it. Entrances with pizzazz. I mean, shit. If you talk about an alien coming out of a back.
Yeah. Right?
How often do you see that?
We got to give it some points. I know, right? You don't see that every day.
And then also the one coming out of the guy's mouth.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. That movie is so gross.
And I would say, the Covenant ship itself gets a real entrance. Like, when you know you're getting a good entrance when they put text on screen to explain who you are. You know what I mean?
Like you need to know.
Reese Witherspoon wishes she had such like pageant.
Right.
It's a fanfare of text is what it is. It's like a vague, pay attention here.
And then also like the landing ship landing on the planet is really extended. You know what I mean? When they land from orbit, land, like that's an entrance to the planet.
Yeah.
It's like a good, nice 2-3 minute sequence. It's also beautifully shot. Can we admit New Zealand? Have you ever looked better?
It is, yeah. Oh, that was New Zealand?
That was New Zealand.
It was good. Yeah. It was beautifully shot. And that, yeah, there were some pizzazzy entrances then. I would say 75.
75.
I was going to say 75 too, but just be a little different. I'll say 77.
77. Okay. There's also there's a flashback which takes place after Prometheus where David arrives on the planet and unleashes the alien virus on the engineers, they're called.
They have the weird crinkle cut French fry.
They're considered the engineers. So I would say that's an entrance arriving on a planet and killing everyone. Pretty pizzazz.
Dark pizzazz. That's pizzazz.
You're going to notice that entrance before you die. You're like, oh, look at that.
Who's this?
Ah! Oh, who's this? Owie, ow. That hurt.
And then also David with the flare when he shows up in the grass land when they're getting attacked. Pretty busy. Yeah. He blinds everybody.
Right, yeah.
So I'm going to score 85. To me, it's pretty. Give an average of 79. All right, next category, dramatic lighting.
High, I think. I just was thinking it was dark. I mean, it was like almost like dark. And there's just like, you can just like barely see everything. It's kind of like mysterious, ominous lighting. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
There's a lot of that, but there's also like when the power would come back on, you just see shots of like lights, like hallways lighting up and all that stuff. That was very dramatic.
Yeah.
The flare, dramatic lighting as well. And I also think like when they were like all around that weird like holodeck talking about like their plans.
All,
like the 3D stuff. That's all lighting too. So that's kind of
dramatic. A Ridley Scott movie's never going to look like a TV show like so many movies do. Like even when they're just trying to finally escape and land on that land, the sun's like, it's like a sunrise and like it's such like a unique kind of light. And I really appreciate that he puts that care into it.
Yeah.
John, what are you going to give it?
For dramatic lighting. I'll give it an 80.
80. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give it an 88.
Ooh, I'm going to go in the middle. I'll do an 85.
Oh, 85. Middle-ish. Got it.
Yeah.
Give an average of 84.33. All right, next category. Strident women.
Oh. What does that mean? Just like strong women?
Strident technically usually means like annoying, overbearing woman, but we tend to interpret it as like a very strong, empowered woman. We're trying to make it. We're trying to take strident back as a descriptor.
We're just it's our word now. We're claiming it.
Yes, mm-hmm.
because overbearing and annoying can be also like she's just very strong and has a loud voice.
Absolutely.
And opinion.
Yeah.
We definitely have that. I don't even know the names. Who's the character that was like the one we saw in the beginning with the short hair? Who's James Franco died for some reason, and that was like her dude.
She's Daniels.
Daniel, yeah. She was a good one.
Well, she Captain stands Waterson. Up to the religious captain, who's really bad mm-hmm. at the crew. Mm-hmm. There's also mm-hmm. that communications lady, Jussie Smollett's like girlfriend with the short hair.
Oh yeah,
and also the main computer is called Mother. She's not true. Afraid to stand up for herself.
Oh, we love
that computer.
Mother.
She's telling them exactly what to do.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like all the women in this movie are strident to some degree.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I feel like that's how I think of the Alien franchise. Like, probably just because of Sigourney Weaver's character knowing, like, minimal about it. But that's, like, what you know from the series is that kind of vibe. So it's pretty high. Yeah.
So what are you going to give it?
I'll give it an 80.
80.
I laugh every time I give something a score. I'm just like, I guess so. Yeah, that sounds good.
I'll give it an 88. I think they're pretty much across the board all relatively pretty strident.
Yeah.
I'll give it a 87. Give it an average of 85, which is a lot higher than Face Off, which only has a 74 in strident women. All right, we might make up some points here. Macabre. How macabre is Alien Covenant?
I mean, it's pretty
it's
macabre.
Constantly macabre. Drawers full of embryos. Watching your husband burn to death in his cryogenic chamber.
Mm-hmm.
Also,
there was that one woman who got killed, and they kept cutting to her head. That was
her
just in a puddle.
Exploding.
Right.
I was like, those like that, and the guy like in the fire. I was like, that's gonna haunt my dreams for a while. Oh my gosh! Yeah, that was intense. That was pretty macabre.
A planet with like no life and with no animals on it feels macabre to me.
Honestly, there's something about space just in general that's macabre.
It's terrifying.
Too. Right?
Yeah. One little mistake and it all blows up.
Yeah, exactly.
There's also an entire city of corpses.
Yeah, it's pretty macabre.
It's pretty
the
macabre.
Aliens themselves are pretty macabre.
Face
they
huggers.
They are very macabre. Face huggers, we don't like that.
That lab, basically how David's like lab turns into, you know, almost, you know, it's pretty medieval looking, you know?
Yeah.
It becomes like a different genre of movie almost.
Is that where the part where the drawings were everywhere all over the walls? Yeah, like I was just like thinking like this feels so dark and weird and creepy. So macabre. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Macabre. Stapling your own face.
Yeah, that's nasty. That's nasty. We don't need to see that.
Well, you know, home healthcare is going to go through a lot of changes in the next few years.
Yeah, true. The doctor will just be watching on the telehealth appointment while we're stapling our faces. We're like, we're fine. It's okay. I'm fine.
So what do you want to give this for macabre?
Macabre. I don't want to go crazy high, but I think like 80. I'll do 80.
80.
Conservative. Yeah.
I'm going to do 90. I think it's pretty macabre.
Yeah. 90. So you think Clue is more macabre than Alien Covenant?
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, I'm giving it 100 in macabre. I think this is about as macabre.
Wow.
It's pretty macabre. Like giving an average of 90. All right, next category. Mm-hmm. This one might be tough. Wigs.
I love this show. Can I just say that? It's so good.
The only one I know is Michael, when you first see David, he has like that Iggy.
That stringy
Iggy
blonde
pop
wig.
Look. He looks like Iggy Pop to me. Like, that's about.
Cuts that.
I think that might be the only wig, though.
I feel like that's.
But that's
only
weird
one.
Because, like, he's a robot, right? Like, he's artificial intelligence, at least. So, how is it that he has either hair that, like, because he cuts the hair?
Yeah.
Is his hair growing?
I think it is. Yeah. Because they have, like, fluid in them. Like, there's stuff happening.
It seems like a weird thing for
option.
A designer to be like, the hair needs to grow.
I guess maybe if you get a short haired robot and you end up wanting a longer haired robot, you have options.
Don't you think they're all robots are wearing wigs probably of some sort? So you could just
You'd
flip
think
it out.
So.
You'd think
even
so.
The what is it, Sophia? She the real one? The very realistic robot. She wears a wig. She is bald. She's bald as hell when she takes her wig off.
She still knows shame.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Exactly. So yeah, the wig factor is very low in this. I mean, I'm just gonna give it like a 5 because even if it's like one character, it's not that exciting. That's not that's not enough wig for me.
It's not enough.
Yeah, I'll give it an 8.
8. I do remember that Iggy Pop look, so I'm gonna give it a 12. Giving an average of 8.33, which is a lot higher than Windows again, but not as good as Bring It On, which has a 9.
Windows is a, you were about to ask, it's a lesbian like psychodrama that happened in 1980. It's very forgettable.
Love it.
All right, our next category, quips. How quippy is Alien Covenant?
The one thing that I wrote down was after Fassbender was stabbed in the chin, he went, "That's the spirit," right? And I thought, that's a fun little quip.
He's having a good time. Also, like,
that's a good quip.
Locking her in the thing.
He hasn't lost his sense of humor in the midst of things.
Absolutely not. Don't let the bed bugs bite when he, like, locks her in the chin.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Don't let the bed bugs bite. Does McBride have any quips? You'd think he would, but I don't remember any.
I can't remember.
He was sort of surprisingly subdued and in a way that I was like, Why do we get McBride if we're not letting him McBride a little bit in this?
It's probably like he probably wanted to do something different. So he was like, put me somewhere where I can cry.
Just put your hand over your mouth.
They're like, yeah, like, just put your hand over your mouth. Yeah. How about for this take, you just put your hand over your mouth. We'll see how that works.
Let's have this take be about the tears you don't shed.
Exactly.
Imagine you have tooth pain.
Exactly. Oh. I don't remember other quips.
It's not very quippy. What do you want to give it for quips?
Let's say 12.
12.
I'll go 14.
14. There was one. Walter got one good dig in when he said, when one note is off, it eventually destroys the whole symphony.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was so catty.
Also foreshadowing.
So bitchy.
So bitchy. These, I love bitchy robots. I'm going to give it a 14 as well. Give it an average of 13.33, which is not as high. Almost it's very close to Interview with the Vampire, which has a 15.67 in quips. All right, next category. Vibrato.
So vibrato, we don't just mean the literal version of like singing vibrato. We also mean like anytime they take a moment, give a little more, a little extra, sort of zhuzh it up a little more that you'll like.
Oh.
Like when things are just like cranked up.
Yeah. So for me, one thing I wrote down is at one point Danny McBride said, "We didn't leave Earth to play it safe." Like that to me feels very sort of like extra vibrato. Like,
extra.
Okay, calm down, McBride. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
But also like, okay, keep it coming.
Yeah, we like it.
I do think an alien bursting out of someone's back feels vibrato. I mean, we've never seen that. There's been four alien movies beforehand. That's never five alien. That never happened before.
Really? Oh, that's a new thing.
That's a new thing. Also, when that one little alien is born and it does like the puppetry, it puts its arm and mimics Michael Fassbender with it's so weird.
Mm-hmm. I also liked in that moment when the alien burst out of that guy's back, that other girl who got like just a spray of blood on her face.
Yeah.
Which was like,
there were lots of little
that
things.
Was like, yeah.
And there's also this.
That was a little fun extra.
Yeah, and even the way like his body falls backwards, like everything just felt very extra, like in those moments.
Imagine
and the head floating in the water. All of those things were very like they didn't have to do it like that, but they did.
The giant heads and like the inside the building, everything feels big. And then also the one like when they're walking back to their ship, and they see it explode, and then you see your friend stumble out on fire and collapse.
Yeah,
that's extra. Yeah.
That's true.
Also, James Franco has he been in any of the other Alien movies?
This was it.
Think about how crazy extra that is, because just a random shot of a very famous person that isn't even really in the movie.
Right.
Right.
But honestly,
there apparently were a lot of scenes that with him that were cut.
Oh, really? Yeah.
But this is about as much James Franco as I want.
Yeah, we don't need a lot more. We're good.
This is appropriate.
We're actually
amount.
Fine here.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's him burning alive in the thing? Huh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, we'll take you as a memory on a video also after that. We're good.
You're just a memory on a video.
A memory on a video.
I also think the way, like, when those things came out, the solar panels, those big gold, like, that's a little, like, I loved it. But to be like, big gold, like, just like tons of gold fabric just soaking up the sun. Yeah, that was a little vibrato-y too.
Definitely.
So what do you want to give it for vibrato, Nicole?
So I would say... I'll say 70.
I'll go 77.
77, the year Star Wars came out. And the original Alien, I think. I could be wrong.
Really?
No way to find out.
It's impossible. I'm going to give it an 80 for vibrato. I love this movie, but I'm not crazy.
Thank God.
He says as he shows us the book from the movie.
I also have this other one, Aliens the Archive, which is a collection.
Wow.
Of the first
you have all these at your fingertips.
Well, that, I keep.
Also, Alien came out in 1979.
So. All right. I was close. I was close. I'm so sorry, Ridley Scott.
It's okay.
All right. This is the last of the canon categories. Footwork. How would you rate the footwork in Alien Covenant?
Well, in the very first scene, Guy Pearce says to Fassbender, ambulate, which means like to get him to get up and start walking. So I thought that was fun.
That's footwork. He also has like a very, when Walter's walking, he has that robot walk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely. That he threw in a little extra with the robot walk.
And then the aliens themselves crawling up walls, hanging up on ceilings.
And then there was the footwork where she slips in the blood, which can be considered footwork. Oh, absolutely. And when her foot gets caught in the, or like,
the door.
Pulls out of the door. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was good. And then the alien slams into it.
Do you think it's scarier to fight like a big alien or like the tinier alien?
The tiny one.
The tinier one's
scary. The tiny one's scary because they're like skittish and they're so fast and you
they
just sort of like,
ugh. Yeah, and I hate the idea because that's why I don't really like cats that much. Sorry, I know you're the cat, but when they, because cats
she can't hear.
Can do
okay.
that. Okay, good. Okay, because cats can do that too, where they would like jump on your face and just be like, you know, like attacking it. And so I don't like little things like
that. Why do you think John has the beard? He's covering up the scars.
He's just like,
he's an abusive.
I also think like with a big thing, you're like, oh, that could kill me in one blow. You know what I mean? So the little thing would just be like, oh, probably just eat at me for a long time and just be gross and it would hurt.
Yeah, it was just like pick at your face and you're just like, can you just get to it already, please?
Right. You're really making a meal out of this.
Yeah. All right, so the footwork is pretty good.
So
no dancing or anything. So it's not like we don't want to go
no
too hard
dancing.
With it. Imagine if they did dance all of a sudden. You'd be like, why are they doing this? I would say 40.
40.
Yeah.
I'll give it a 50 for footwork.
50. Okay, I'm going to give it a 60 for those aliens crawling on the walls. And also, there is something very footworky about that action sequence where it's like the aliens on that lander ship crawling and then like she's swinging out on a rope.
Yeah.
That's footwork of a kind. I don't
Flying
know.
Footwork.
Flying footwork. All right, now we are into the wheel category. So these are categories that are neither canon nor bonus.
So these are all categories that previous guests have brought in, but they didn't make it to the canon category, unlike yours.
Ooh!
Or the bonus.
How special. Right. Okay.
So we're going to spin this wheel, and we'll tell you.
Spin this wheel.
Oh, I see.
Here we go.
Okay.
We can hear it spinning.
I'm taking you. I'm going to turn my computer.
Caper music.
Caper music. How would you rate the caper music in Alien?
Caper music.
Like, is there any music you would, like, pull off a caper to?
Caper music. I feel like this was the last time I did the show. It was on. I got this category, too.
You probably
caper
did.
Because we talked about Danny Elfman. But, sorry, I'm losing my...
I'd say the score is very iconic to me. Like, there's nothing that could be like, oh, that's the Alien theme, or that's...
I have to disagree, John.
Fair. All right, tell me about it. Tell me why I'm wrong.
It's not quite caper music, but there are iconic Alien... It's the very subtle, like, during the opening credits, it's like, bing, bing, bing. It's like those little small violin strings that are very Alien.
I thought the same thing during the beginning was the only time, because I think I recognized that music, and even though I've never seen an Alien, and I was like, that... I've never seen those movies, I mean. So I recognized it, but I didn't think it felt like caper music. It just felt like...
When there is, like, the only, like, music that comes to mind is, like, when they're trying to escape on the lander, and it's all pretty bombastic, you know? It's pretty loud.
Yeah.
So it's not... Capery is a little more... Sly.
But do they use like the Wagner when like any attacks or anything is happening?
So.
Like that's a thing. I read in my research for this, isn't there like a different composer for each movie, or hasn't
that might be true.
Ridley Scott used like a different composer for each movie?
He's only done, he did the first Alien, then he did Prometheus and Alien Covenant.
Yeah, he's done 3 out of the 6.
Which is what's fun about the original franchise, that each one is a different director and they all put their own stamp on it.
Oh, that's interesting. Was that, because I, for some reason, just imagined this as being Ridley Scott's thing. Mm-mm. So was that like, he never planned it that way. It was somebody else's movie that he just directed a few of them.
He just did the first
one. He did the first one. He said it. He like established
the tone.
And then James Cameron did Aliens. And then I don't know who did that.
David Fincher did Alien 3. And then
really? Oh, I want to see that. That's his first movie. I love David Fincher. Really?
Wow. And then the French guy who did Delicatessen and City Lost Children did Alien Resurrection. Which everyone should. Alien Resurrection is better than Alien 3. Don't believe people who don't tell you that. You guys have no idea what I'm talking about, but somebody out there does.
Yeah, I've seen Alien 3 when it came out once, and I was like, well, that was cute. All I remember is Sigourney Weaver falling and like to her death, but like an alien pops out of her stomach right before she dies. That's all I remember from Alien.
Damn.
That's the final shot. Spoiler.
Wow.
Came out 30 years ago.
Well, you ruined it. Thank you. Mm-hmm. No. So that's also what a way to go. You're like, as you're already falling to your death, an alien pops out of your stomach. It's
like,
really?
I needed this today.
Yeah, that's a quip. Whatever. Like, I needed this today. Oh.
Check, please.
Credits roll.
Check. I'll have what she's having. Ugh.
Let's make this stupidest alien movie.
Oh, wait. What movie? Okay.
Caper music.
Caper music.
Or just, I think very low. I'm just going to say a 5 just to say a number.
A 5.
Yeah. I'll give it a 10.
A 10.
Because there's Wagner in there.
You got to give it for Wagner.
We love a little Wagner.
A little Wagner, a little glass of Chablis, and you got yourself an evening.
You have an evening.
I'll give it a 20 because I have repeatedly listened to this score just on its own late at night when I'm reading.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm a real nerd.
You know what my favorite, one of my favorite nerdy scores is Dark Knight. Oh. Do you like the music from Dark Knight?
Hans Zimmer.
It's so good. It's great. It's one of my favorites. That's one I will listen to just like, by itself. I love it so much.
That's fun. Mm-hmm. All right, let's spin that wheel for wheel category number 2.
Oh, I like the little sound effect.
It's a lot of fun. He's having a good time. Look at him.
Yeah, he is. He loves it.
Rye smiles. I didn't write anything down, but I'm pretty sure Fassbender had a bunch.
I think so.
Sure. I would feel like in an action movie, you have to have a lot of wry smiles. That's kind of the vibe, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, especially like at the end when like the very end when he put Catherine Waterson like into her cryo chamber or whatever it's called. And she's like, no. And he's like, bye.
Bye. I'm at the bed bugs bite, baby. Yeah.
You're not waking up.
I can destroy all these humans. Ha ha ha.
You suck. Ha ha. You sucker. Yeah.
He's pretty wry. I think like
he had a lot of wry smiles.
A lot of wry smiles. Danny McBride have wry smile.
I don't remember
a lot of smiling in this movie. Because pretty much their captain dies, then they go down to the planet, then everyone else starts dying.
Yeah, so, it starts off on a pretty negative note. So
not a lot of smug people in this movie.
No,
not a lot of smug people. Everybody's a little scared, a little sad. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what do you want to give this for wry smiles?
Maybe. Maybe 20%, because I feel like he brought enough to it.
20.
20.
Did Guy Pearce, was he sort of a little smug in the prologue?
He's definitely smug.
Oh, probably. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go 20 as well.
20. I'll go 25 just for Fassbender. Give an average of 21.67. All right, wheel category number 3. I don't remember who brought in Rye Smiles. Somebody does.
Rye Smiles, that was Ben Schrader for Labyrinth.
There you go.
Weird line deliveries.
Okay.
I think Fassbender is a robot. A lot of his stuff is.
Oh yeah.
And both of the robots, really.
Mm-hmm. And there was one point I wrote this down. I don't remember if it was David or Walter. But he says like, "You're not allowed to create, not even a simple tune." And he said "tune" in such a weird way that I was like, "What?
Right.
Who says that?"
Because it was like he was doing a British accent, but he like went overboard with it.
Yeah,
like.
He made the U a little too liquidy.
Chill.
He might be doing Peter O'Toole.
Oh, yeah, right.
mm-hmm. is what he's That's doing.
That's it. He was doing that.
Because he models himself after Lawrence of Arabia in the first movie. The movie Lawrence of Arabia. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is all.
Oh, so there's like an actual reason for it. Okay.
I think so.
Yeah. Once you see the movie 12 times, you get it.
I know.
It clicks in.
Then you're
this
like,
makes
oh
me
want
to watch all of them. Makes me want to like really dive into this thing and see what's up.
The first one is going to seem like an episode of Real Housewives. It's so simple compared to this.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. So wait, what is the category? Accents? Oh,
weird line deliveries.
I feel like there was also a moment where Danny McBride, maybe it was his face versus what he was saying. He was kind of like something like, can I get my wife on the line? I want to say hi to her or something like that. Like, I can't remember what he said, but it sounded to me like he was about to do something very dangerous, or like there's something about the way he looked while he was saying it. But then I don't know. He just wanted to talk to her. I don't know what was even happening in that moment. You know what I'm talking about? It's right before they tell her that she died.
Yeah, I think were like about to fly up, or like they were about to rescue people or go down to rescue them.
Yeah.
Like, oh, let me talk to my wife. And they're like, she's fire.
Actually, this is very awkward. She's dead. I think it felt like she wanted to
be cremated.
Right. Hope she's good with that. Did you all talk about that? Because it felt like he was about to like drive the ship into some danger. I don't know. I was like I said, I was not paying a ton of attention. But because it felt like he was about, but the way he said it, it just felt awkward. And then the I don't know, into the death scene, everything about that moment was like doing it weird to me.
There's also the moment where they play back the recording of the person singing
Country Roads.
Yeah. Country Roads, Take Me Home.
Yeah. That's a weird moment.
That was a weird singing performance.
It was a weird singing performance.
Well, I thought the performance was okay. It was just sort of staticky.
Yeah. Distorted.
Yeah.
What is this, Saint Vincent?
We don't need all this distortion. I feel like it's a low score on this one. Weird line delivery. Well, actually, kind of. Maybe like 37. What's like
37.
Weird number. Yeah.
I think for Fassbender and that one line, I'm going to give it a 62.
Ooh.
62, John.
Wow.
Sauce on that.
I love it.
A little Fassbender on it.
I'll give it a 65, giving an average of 54.67.
All righty.
All right. This is our final wheel category. And then we need to come up with a category.
Legendary billboard.
Legendary billboard. Tough category.
What?
There are no billboards in this movie.
All right, I will say this. Unless... I'm going to give it some points for those sales because it was like a very billboardy thing. It's a legendary look. I'm not giving it a high score. I'm not giving it 100, but I'm giving it points for that. It was sort of billboard-esque. It was legendary to look at.
You know, if only this movie got wearing some another person's clothes, it would have scored very high on that.
Indeed.
Isn't there also, well, you said the part where they put, I mean, this is not it, but they put the words on the screen just to tell you what's the ship is under. In a way, that's its own billboard, eh?
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
If we're giving little
give it a point or two for that.
If that's how you want to interpret the category.
To get some points, I do, yeah. Yeah.
Is having the name of your ship written on the side of your ship a billboard of a sort?
It could be. It's a little bit of an advertisement, right?
It is an advertisement.
It's
saying,
like,
hey,
like a truck,
look at me.
Like when a truck has like Coca-Cola on the side and you're like, oh, right, Coke.
It's exactly like a truck.
Exactly. Yeah.
So what do you want to give this for legendary billboard?
I mean, it has to be low. Let's give it a...
You think?
Let's give it 2, right? Or I'll give it 2.
A 2.
I'll give it 7.
7. I'm going to give it a 9 just for my covenant argument, which I can't only believe 9 of. All right, give an average of 6. All right, now it is time when we have to come up with a category.
To work for this movie.
I don't have any, unless the only thing I would say maybe is like body horror.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, like some kind of like gore.
Oh, really?
Like gore. I was like gore.
Gore is fun.
Something like that. It has to be something like that, I feel like.
I do feel like the more gore it is, the more extra it is.
Does it make
the
it the gayer it is?
Yeah, exactly. And it brings a little bit of a camp factor too, right? When it's something like extreme like that, I feel like.
Possibly.
Sure.
Mark, I'm curious because you know these.
Blood
you know
splattering
these...
in someone's face.
That's true. You know
Go
this
ahead.
Series better than either of us, obviously. But you said earlier you thought this was the gay. You said it wasn't the best alien movie, but it was the gayest one. What do you think makes it? What do you think that this movie has the other one don't have that does make it gayer than the other ones.
Well, the only one you could maybe say is Alien Resurrection, because there's an interesting dynamic between Sigourney Weaver and Winona Ryder. But in some ways, that feels more maternal, mother-daughter.
Okay.
But this one just solely for Fassbender's performance, because to me, he's so camp and arch and just like everything is like living deliciously. It's almost like Space Hannibal, you know, Space Frasier.
Totally.
Like it's all like to me, he brings like so much camp to it. Like of him, he doesn't give a fuck about these humans, even though to his face, he's being very nice and like, you know, welcoming. So to me, that makes it gay.
Okay. So
did you have a thought?
No. I was just thinking like if that might help us. So you were saying, what did you say before? Gore or body horror? What was it?
Gore, body horror.
Yeah.
You know, body horror, like a Black Swan.
I love
a Cronenberg.
I love also the element of the Frasier thing you keep bringing up. Like the Frasier of it all or something.
It almost be like, How Frasier is it?
Exactly.
I like that.
How Frasier is it?
John, what do you think of that?
That might be a little tough to, maybe we can articulate it in a way that's
easier
to use. A love
of the fine arts.
A love of the finer things in life.
A love of the finer things in life. A love of the fine arts.
Fine art appreciation.
Yeah. Or like, could it be like a character that appreciates the fine arts, or how many characters appreciate the fine arts?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think just fine art appreciation. Like, covers that.
I like that.
All right, let's do it. It's done. All right, great. So, Nicole, what would you give this for fine art appreciation?
Well, I mean, it starts off talking about Wagner playing the piano. Come on now.
We got Wagner.
His own personal museum in that opening.
Yeah, exactly. David, Statue of David.
They quote Ozymandias constantly.
Constantly. They're playing the little flute thing.
Mm-hmm.
They've got piping on the
outfit. I think also, in a way, David treats the aliens themselves as his art. They
are his works of art.
Creation.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean? Like, he made them what they are, what we see in the later movies.
Yeah, it does feel very like having an appreciation for the arts. I feel like it's maybe like a 75, I'll say.
75.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 85.
85. Well, to me, since like such a huge theme of this movie is creator and like the someone who it's almost like a Frankenstein.
Very much so, yeah.
Oh, and there's art on the walls.
The person who created you and then also wanting to like circumvent that. And I don't know, it's a whole theme of fine art and creation. I don't know.
Yeah. You're doing great.
I'm going to give it a 90.
Yeah.
All righty.
83.33. All right. Now we are into the bonus round.
Right. So. These are scores. We're going to score them 0 to 5.
Okay.
And so, like, if they don't do what, like, if you get a 0, it doesn't, the movie doesn't suffer from it. You know what I mean? So, nothing gets penalized here, but you get extra points for things.
Okay.
You get extra points for having these things.
Okay.
You're not necessarily gayer for having these things, for not having them, but you get a little extra for when
you got them.
All right. So, the first one, makeover montage.
Ooh.
Was there a makeover montage?
Here's the closest thing that I got was when they were. It's not really a montage, but when they're putting that goopy medicine on that guy's face, that was a bit of a makeover.
Sure.
Yeah. Why not?
And also like Fassbender cutting his hair.
Cut his hair. Stapling his face.
Not really a montage. Mm-hmm. Stapling his.
That's not
there's that one fun shot where you see the little virus thing fly into the guy's ear, and then it follows it into the ear.
Oh,
not
right.
really a montage, but it's a bit of a makeover.
Yeah,
sure. Someone with a virus.
He becomes pregnant with alien.
Sure.
Yeah,
he comes through his ear canal.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
But I don't think it's very high on the makeover.
No montage. Yeah. So probably
there's no montage.
I mean zero, right? Because it's
zero.
I say zero.
Yeah, I'll go zero as well, unfortunately.
I will also go zero.
Wow. We all agree.
It's okay. It's tied with Labyrinth.
Really? Labyrinth has no montages? It's the 80s.
No makeover montage.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right, next category. Angry phone hangups.
I don't think there are any, are there? Oh, wait.
There aren't, but I sort of feel like for me, like when Danny McBride is yelling at the ship, like, override, I said override. It feels like a hang up to me. You know
what
I mean?
What I was
it's
just
not like
say,
a literal phone.
They're not
hang
picking up phones.
No.
Yeah. They don't have phones. This is not a different world, but it has the same vibe.
But it is that spirit.
Uh-huh.
Could you imagine, like, that just made me think, like, you know how you couldn't angrily leave a Zoom because you'd be like, all right, well, fuck you. Now I
gotta find leave meeting.
I think in that case, the best thing to do would be to just, like, close your laptop.
Slam. Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God, I want to see people get in Zoom fights. The drama of it all. Yeah.
I mean, I think that's every network's fall TV program.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Don't we want to see more people on video chats when we're not on video chats?
To relax.
There's like,
yeah.
two shows at least that are straight up Zoom shows talking about Corona, at least that I know of. I'm like, what in the world?
Does anybody want to see that?
I'm like, does anybody want to see that? That being said, I am available.
Of course. You're not stupid.
Anybody want to see that? I do want to get paid by it though. Okay.
Absolutely.
But yeah, as far as hangups go, I would say we'll give very low points, but we got to give some for the yelling at the computer. So maybe let's do one. I'll do one.
I'm also going to go one. One. I'll also go one. All right, next one. Titular theme song.
Aliens. Song. It's going to be about aliens.
Covenant. This is a covenant of aliens.
This is a covenant of aliens.
Yeah, there's no song that is called Alien Covenant, unless, Mark, do you know about the soundtrack, if there's anything?
There is. The final track is called Alien Covenant Theme.
Okay, then. So it's got one.
But it's not it's like recognizable.
Can you hum it to us?
Boom, 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 boom.
Oh, yeah.
Boom, boom, boom,
hey.
Boom. Hey.
Hey.
Oh.
It turns into Irie or something?
Yeah, something. A rap song. I'm snapping over here.
That's about it, though. It's not like a score, not a song.
As I was saying, do they have to have the word? Does it have to have words in it?
I think to get the five.
I would
to get the five,
percent.
Sure.
I felt like the music that there was some song at the beginning that sounded just familiar to me, but that's not the same as having a titular theme song or something. Is
right.
It? No.
So I mean, the closest I would give it to titular theme song would, I guess, be Take Me Home, Country Roads.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe the Wagner piece that he plays a couple times.
Uh-huh.
Maybe. But so what do you want to give it, Nicole?
I'll give it one because I did feel like there was something in there that I was like, this. Yeah. I feel like I've heard this before, but not like Take Me Home, Country Roads, but like just a sound. Yeah.
I think that was like one of three movies that came out like that year that were using Take, because like Logan Lucky,
right?
That movie also had like Take Me Home, weird. Country Roads. Like there was a weird thing.
John just, Denver like, was just some, having a moment in 2017.
Whoever was representing his estate was hustling.
It was like a sale. Maybe it went on sale or something.
Yeah.
Like $25.
Like
you
the iTunes,
a movie.
99 cents.
Put it on. Yeah. You just give it to him for 99 cents.
Pays off later. Pays off later.
It pays off later when you get the residuals. You gotta understand.
Mm-hmm.
That's his agent.
Yeah, I'll give it a two.
A two.
There is the theme, and then there's some sort of fun music in it.
I'll also give it a two. Give it an average of 1.67, which is tied with Labyrinth.
Ooh.
All right. Next category might make up some points here. Fun fonts.
Fun what?
Fonts.
Oh, fun fonts. Oh, there was one at the very beginning, right? When it says
like in the opening credits when they're just slowly adding lines.
It's very cool. I like that a lot.
I love that.
Me too. That was very cool.
You're
going
to love the original Alien.
Oh, really? Okay, I'm going to watch it. There's
also, I love anytime a movie like messes with the studio logo. Mm-hmm. And this one had like the greenish tint to everything.
Yeah.
I thought that was fun. Like, this is something different.
I like that. Oh. I like that too.
Oh.
I don't know what to expect anymore.
This isn't your run of the mill 20th century Fox film.
20th Century Fox looks different. Yeah, I like that.
There's a lot of the on screen text, like we said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A lot of graphic displays and a lot of interfaces.
That's pretty good. That's like, that probably,
good.
Is it three? Three sounds high out of five, but I mean, why not?
I was going to go three as well. I think three works.
Yeah.
I'm going to go four. Maybe just because when you watch it a bunch, you could start really looking at the font.
Oh,
sure.
Like a crazy person.
Oh, yeah. He's seen it more. So
I know, right? The expert here.
I'm a real sad person. Next category. Cheerworthy cameos.
Listen. Franco's the only cameo, right? But we're not cheering.
I think Franco.
Franco
cheering,
but he does appear in more than one scene. Typically, we say if you're more than one scene, you're more than a cameo.
Also, how weird is it that I did not know that he was the guy that turned?
You guys, yeah, that weird mustache. Yeah,
I have to turn my phone off more often. This is crazy.
Well, because I think you never really do get like a good shot of. It's just one shot of Franco in the tank, and it's like everyone looks weird in the because they have like the smock things.
Yeah, I didn't realize that was him, and then I saw the video of him, and I was like, wait, why are they just showing him rock climbing and saying "I love you" when he's dead? I get it now. So I guess that wasn't a cameo then, because he was in two scenes. So there's no cameos. So we got a big goose egg, right?
Unless
were we
something
cheering
we're
for James Franco? I don't.
Oh
think
yeah,
so.
We weren't cheering. No.
Unless you got really excited to see those solar sails.
Oh, yeah, you do get excited to see those solar sails.
Because even like the final alien form, it's in too much of it. So, yeah, I don't think.
I guess we could say Guy Pearce is a cameo.
Oh, yeah, he's only in one
scene.
That's
true.
I cheer for him. I really like Guy Pearce.
Yeah.
He's always great.
Yeah.
Good job, John. Guy Pearce.
That's good. It didn't feel like a cameo to me, but we'll allow it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Nicole. So what do you want to, how does allowing it translate to 0 to 5%?
Okay, I'll do one. I'll give one.
I'll do one as well.
One for Guy Pearce.
We like
him. I'll give it 2 for Guy Pearce.
Okay. All right.
Giving a 12.47 point. All right. Next one. Pool trouble.
What? Wait, pool trouble? The woman whose head was floating in the pool, that's trouble.
The head, the shower scene is, I mean, it's not quite a pool, mm-hmm. but it's sort of, there's water.
There's danger there's in that water. You don't want to go in the water, an alien.
There's trouble in that, in that shower.
Also, it was really funny because I feel like the thing started to come out from the bottom, right? The tail or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah.
And then
she
saw it and she kind of backed up and never said anything. Then she saw it behind him and she never said anything. Then it went through him and she was like, ah. I'm like, girl, you had chances to warn
him. Too late.
Right.
Oh, no. Look out.
I mean, I get that Jesse's been in some trouble, but come on. Help him out. So there was definite pool trouble in this. And it was noteworthy, I thought. So maybe maybe a 3. I'm just going to go 3.
3.
I'm going to go 3 as well.
Yeah.
I'm also going to go 3. Woo-hoo! Give an average of 3, which is more than Cats. Mm. Only has a 2.33%. Oh. All right, next category. Sassy best friend.
Oh.
Well, I would say you could say maybe say David is a sassy best friend to the aliens he makes.
Oh, yeah. Or the aliens are his sassy best friend.
He is sassy.
Yeah.
But he doesn't, he only sort of communicates with them in that one scene right before, who is it? Billy Crudup kills the alien. Is that who it is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are we meant to believe.
When he like blows on them?
Yeah. Are we like meant to believe that like, so what did this movie teach us? That David created these creatures to destroy mankind, right?
He didn't create them, no.
Oh, he didn't create
them. The engineers created them. Which are those white aliens that get decimated on the planet. They created the alien as like a biological weapon, but then he's been experimenting on them into their final form that we see in the alien movies.
Oh.
So he's been tweaking, playing with the genetic material.
Okay. But he doesn't like communicate
and
with
the engineers them. Also created humans. So we share DNA with the xenomorphs, as they're called.
Oh.
This is very confusing.
Yeah.
It's just evolutionary war, you know, aliens versus AI versus humans.
Weird.
Who's going to come out on top?
But like David can't communicate with them.
He does. Well, he matches with like you do with an animal.
Right.
Like he imprints on them.
Mm-hmm. And when the.
And like he does the arm thing, you know, that's communicating of a sort, you know.
Sure. And when it
is
was.
It a
and
sassy
when it got
communication?
No.
I would say he is a sassy best friend, but he's not necessarily sassy to them. But he is
sassy to me.
Okay.
And then when they got shot,
I'm not saying it's a 5.
No, no one's claiming you are.
We're saying you're wrong. We're saying you're completely wrong.
You are more than welcome to.
No, I don't know. I would give it maybe if we're gonna say that's sassy, I'll give it a 1.
A 1.
I'm gonna have to go 0. Unfortunately, I feel like this doesn't have that like. I don't know. Like you, obviously, like to me, the 5 in this is Whoopi Goldberg. She's not like,
Absolutely.
Danny McBride, you in danger, girl.
Yeah, you in danger, girl.
I wish it was Oda Mae was in charge of the
I wish she would have just shown up. I wish she would be the cameo.
Right?
Another Oscar.
I would cheer for that cameo.
I'm going to give it a 1. All right, next category, a bold lip.
No.
The aliens, right? You don't think have a bold lip?
Your answer is no.
I said no.
On a scale from 0 to 5, I say no.
No. Well, you said the aliens have a bold lip. Is it the blood that's on their lips that makes it a bold lip?
Well, they like curl, you know, and like, and they're always dripping with like.
Yeah, that's true.
And their teeth can stick straight forward.
And then they have an extra mouth that pops out.
This definition of a bold lip.
That extra mouth, is that not a bold lip? It's not very lippy.
It's a lip on top of a lip.
It's bold.
A lip on. That's bold.
I mean, that's a broad description of bold, though. I thought lipstick, and I was like, nobody's wearing lipstick in this. But if we're going like literal, like how many lips do they have?
That's bold. What do you have, more than one pair of lips?
It's bold to walk out the house with more than one pair of lips. It is. So maybe we got.
And you can't see it with the mask on.
Yeah, we got to give him some credit. Yeah, they're working with a lot down there, and we don't see it. So maybe we'll give it a. Maybe we should give it a 2, one for each set of lips.
Fair enough. I like how your math works.
I'll give it a 1.
A 2. A 1. I'm also going to give it a 2 for those aliens. All right. Next category, witches. How witchy is Alien Covenant?
I mean, isn't David kind of witchy when he's imprinting on them?
In that lab.
And then there was a moment
straight
where,
out of a medieval castle.
Yeah, totally. And there was a moment, too, I feel like when Billy Crudup shot the alien, it, like, affected him, too, right?
He goes, no.
So, yeah, I would say that's kind of witchy.
I just thought of another angry phone hang-up of a way.
Let's hear it.
You remember when the two robots are fighting? Or no, they're not fighting, but then David, like, gets Walter in the neck and he, like, collapses into, like, a ball almost?
Yeah.
That's an angry phone hang-up.
That is. He literally was just like, think. We're done here. Think.
We're done.
Click.
Unplug. Anyway, that is a good one.
So, witchy. How witchy? I think it's pretty witchy. Like, we see him in, like, a cloak. He looks like a witch. Mm-hmm. Am I crazy?
No, I think it felt pretty witchy. The whole like area where his lair.
It's like a witch's cauldron. Yeah, right.
It felt witchy.
They have those like pods that open up that sort of feels,
mm-hmm. Right. Teaching someone how to play the flute. It seems
teaching
witchy.
Someone how to
so
play the
witchy.
Flute.
Yeah, classic Hansel and Gretel.
Playing. Yeah.
Well, it's not a synthesizer. It's not a,
a synthesizer,
a
right? Yeah.
When the idea of creating things.
A flute is witchier than a keytar. You heard it here first.
It's true. It really is. Keytar's too funky.
Drums are not witchy.
No.
No.
Although, like, a steady drum beat has a witchy quality to
like
it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Djembe or
something.
So it's,
like, weird. It's,
But, like, if it's a drum set, that can't be witchy. That's too percussive.
No,
like,
no.
It's
then
not.
You're just Def Leppard.
Then you're just Def Leppard. Yeah, exactly. I would say it's pretty witchy then, right? I would almost give it a 3.
A 3.
I'm going to give it a 2.
A 2. Not convinced by any of this. I'm going to give it a 4.
A 2.
A 3. Wow.
I think it's pretty witchy.
All righty.
Next category. On a scale of 0 to 5%, how Korean is Alien Covenant?
What?
I don't think it's Korean.
Is there Korean at all?
Wait, check. No, not even. There's not a Korean actor
in it. There's no Korean actors.
There might have been some Korean crew members, but we can't go through the entire 500 people worked
we
on
this. We can't do it. Yeah, so no, 0 maybe.
Yeah,
right?
I'll have to go 0
Nothing
as
Korean.
Well.
Most movies
where does this? What is that? Where does that category come from?
Off of Parasite.
Parasite.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. That checks out.
Our guest Peter Kim insisted on it, and we said, "Who are we to do this?"
I love Peter.
I know Peter. He's the best.
Yeah, from Chicago.
The musical, he was not in that. Or the next category, felt. How much felt is in this movie?
Oh, I remember this. This is from the guy who had the Muppet Show, right?
Yeah.
Or the Muppet movie. Muppet Take Manhattan. And that was really, that was the one, the beat last time I was on. How felt? Is there felt?
I think, yeah. Guy Pearce's jacket in the opening, he had a teal jacket that sort of had a felty quality to it, I noticed. I feel like most of their, like, within, like, when they were hanging on the ship was, like, it was very neoprene. So it's not very felty, but it is like, but that is a processed fabric.
Yeah.
Sure.
So I might give it a point or two for that.
Yeah, we got to give it a point. I'll give it, oops. Oh, wait, hold on. Sorry. I will give it a point. I'll give it 1.
A 1?
A 1. Let's give it a 1, yeah.
I'll give it 2.
2. I'll also give it 2. Give an average of 1.67, which is more than Scott Pilgrim versus the World. All right. Next category. Gay actors playing gay roles. Well, there are those two gay roles, but they are played by straight
people. By straight people. Yeah. And I don't know if Jussie Smollett, he's gay in real life, right? And he was playing straight.
Yeah, he is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what a bummer.
Straight.
They switched it. He's the only actor of color. He could have played gay and
He could have checked off so many boxes.
Why did they make him
a hat trick?
Why did they just make him some random guy? I mean, I guess he's not that famous, so that makes sense. But so no, 0, right?
0, yeah.
No representation. Rude. Mm-hmm.
It's rude.
It is rude. These Hollywood types. I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Just whenever you had a point at the end, just say, these Hollywood
types. These Hollywood types. It's a category. Right, how many Hollywood types? Okay.
Themes of mothers.
Well, the computer was mother. That's a huge one.
Mother.
Yeah.
I think
the very first scene. Fassbender was like, am I your son? And Gaffier's was like, you're my creation.
Very much
well,
so.
The whole movie is about creators. Very and much so. The, whole, yeah, the themes of the movies are.
So should we give it a 5? I mean, I know that we're all different people. But you know, I want you guys to always be on my team. So
I think five feels.
I think it's 5.
I would go 5 as well for this one. Yeah. It's like a big. It's all about like creation and stuff like that. Even if it's not like specifically on the nose motherhood, it is about those. It is about the themes of mother.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Wanting to kill your own mother, even though she brought you into this world.
Yeah.
Very rude. Very rude.
Who doesn't feel that
very
way?
Very rude.
I mean, truly, who hasn't wanted to kill their mom?
Who doesn't want to kill their own mother?
Who doesn't want to? That's what that.
I'm going to outlive you, and you're telling me what to do.
How dare!
All right, next category: a feels song. Was there a song that put you in your feels?
I mean, obviously, I keep talking about that one song that I was like, I know this. Oh, well, "Take Me Home, Country Road" is a pretty like emotional song. I think.
And I do think it's eerie.
It's eerie. It was eerie the way it was played. Mm-hmm. And it's also like that thing that puts you in your feels because it reminds you of home. It reminds you of the good old days, but then they're in space. And so,
So what number do you want to get? 0 to 5.
Sorry. Let's say 3. I'm going to say a 3.
3.
I'm going to give it a 1 for that. It's like a little blip of a thing.
Yeah.
What about the Wagner at the end? I thought that was, I like that a lot.
Sure.
Because I'm like, good for you, David. Get out of there. Get off that planet. Kill all these humans.
They come out.
We deserve it. We're the worst.
Yeah. Are we? Is he wrong?
Humans, am I right? Just take them out. Put them in a sleep.
All these Hollywood types.
All these Hollywood types. Don't let the bed bugs bite, baby. Good night. Good night.
Hold on. What's 7 divided by 3, John?
7 divided by 3? That is 2 point probably...
6-7?
No.
Yes.
2.67? No, because that would be 8.
Hold on.
So it's 2.34, I think, or 3.3.
7 divided by 3 is 2.3333 to infinity.
Woo-hoo!
Okay. Very good. All right. And then we're in the home stretch here. Gossip. How gossipy is Alien Covenant?
It's not really that gossipy.
The only thing is David telling them like what happened to him on the ship. Like, well, this is what happened to Elizabeth Shaw.
Right. Is that gossipy or just like news?
What's the difference between gossip? Is there a difference?
I think gossip, if you're saying something about someone and you wouldn't say it if they were there, it's gossip. But if you would say it in the room, then it's news. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sure.
So
to me, it's not very gossipy.
It didn't feel very gossipy. I would say, let's do a 1.
A 1.
I'm going to do a 0, unfortunately.
A 0. I'll give it a 1. All right. Finally.
We have 2 categories remaining.
Okay.
All right. This is all or nothing. Either gets all of these points or not at all. And there is no averages. Mm-hmm. We disagree.
We all agree.
So 15% bonus if Alien Covenant has a positive portrayal of homosexuality.
No.
I do not think
I don't think so.
Oh, wait, but yeah, no.
It can't.
They can't.
And then finally, this is the very last category. You've made it to the end. Negative 50% if this is the movie Boat Trip.
This is not the movie Boat Trip, so it will not lose 50% of its points.
It's not Boat Trip.
All right. How do we think we did?
I have to say, unfortunately, I don't think we cracked the top 20 on this.
No, I don't think so either. I bet it's pretty.
It might be in the bottom 10, unfortunately, is my
really?
Guess.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
There were a lot of really low scores on this one, unfortunately.
Yeah.
They were mostly from you, but the total possible points was 2,236.84, giving it a total of 1,171.84, giving it an average of 52.39, making it the 29th gayest movie ever. So not as gay as Scream, but gayer than Sleepaway Camp.
All righty.
So there we go. It's right in the horror world.
Yeah.
I think that makes sense, though, then, right? Because it's kind of horror in its own way.
It was in that world.
Yeah, it's perfect. So suspense, like, thriller.
I'm just here for that flute scene, guys. That's the main reason I brought this in.
No, I'm telling
you.
I love
the Alien franchise.
I'm telling you, as soon as I saw the flute scene, I was like, okay, I get it. I see why we're here.
I deeply love one of my favorite things in any movie scene, spaceships dock in space stations or spaceships landing on a planet. Those are always my favorite scenes in any movie.
I do love that. I do love those too.
Justin, you like parking.
In spaceships? Absolutely.
Love
could you park the Starship
scene.
Enterprise, John? Yeah. I don't think so. You're going to need a good crew on your side.
I didn't say I could. I just said you like parking.
Who doesn't? What are you driving, going through drive-thrus and not stopping all the time?
Okay. I guess that really put me in my place. Yeah.
Nicole, we've made it to the end.
Thank you so much for coming back. Such a delight. Gosh.
Thank you guys for having
me. Is there
anything
you'd like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
No, just follow me on Twitter, follow me on Instagram, and that's pretty much it. Social media, that's where we're
all doing
this. I would
say you are a must-follow on both those platforms these days.
Indeed.
Yay!
You always bring
Thank
it.
You.
You're
Thank
always
you
fun
much.
And delightful, and you're on the right side of history.
Thank you so much. Thank God. I don't want to get canceled. Thank you so much.
All right. And then
we'll be right back. We're back.
What a delightful guest she is. So nice to reconnect.
Always great to have her. She's so fun.
Always.
So wait, I wanted to ask you because I was also similar to her, was confused a lot. So like, what is,
what's there
I know
to be
talking
confused
about? So wait, so I thought David had sort of created the aliens, but he didn't.
He didn't. He got the engineers, who are these really, those tall white alabaster.
Looking alien.
They look like the Statue of David, essentially. You know what I mean? They're that size almost. They created humans as well as aliens. The aliens they created as like a biological weapon, essentially, which is how you kind of see them when he launches it as like the gassy kind of thing in the flashback.
Oh, right. So that was.
But then David's been then David was on the planet with that xenomorph, and then he's been doing experiments.
Tinkering
that's why
with
he said
them.
He made those face. That's why he says to Billy Crudup, "I needed. There was one thing I didn't have. He needs a human host." So that's when he uses.
I see.
That's when we finally see the one burst out of Billy Crudup. That's the first one that had a human host. And that is then the classic alien we see in the rest of the
So wait, how is that alien different movies? From the aliens that popped out of that guy's back and that other guy's mouth?
Because there was in the egg. Because it was the facehugger. And the other one was like
through spores or something. Yeah. So those are different than like when the facehugger... Because that's what got him Billy Crudup, and then they sort of implanted.
That's the classic facehugger. Yeah. Classic facehugger.
So where do the facehuggers come from?
That's what David made. That's what he.
Oh,
he
I see.
Made those. I don't know how. We don't get the exact why, but I do. It is one of those movies. This and also like Batman Forever 2 were one of those things. Like, in some ways, I don't care if there are plot holes a lot of times or like things don't nest. Because to me, mood is so much. I go to the movie so much more for like kind of atmosphere and great set pieces. Like sometimes that is because those to me are like, I don't know. There's something more transportive and escapist about it. Like,
sure.
To me that I can. I mean, it would be great if the plot was 100% and the character. Like, obviously that would be better. But also, it's enough for me that like. That is enough for me. I am fully satisfied.
Gotcha.
It has great atmosphere and a great look.
It definitely has that. I was
and great set pieces.
Yeah. I just felt like I just remember thinking like Aliens to me was such a great fun movie. And I felt like this whole prequel thing, and I think it's the problem with a lot of prequels who are like, well, we want to explain everything. And there's a way in which like part of me was like, I just like the idea of like people trapped in a ship and aliens are trying to kill them and like where the aliens came from and all these sort of like I do think it's beautiful, but at times this movie felt very ponderous to me and sort of just like just sort of like a little boring.
But
to me
that's what I like about like science fiction. I like the grand scale of like creation and the
I felt like it was doing that in a way that wasn't like it wanted you to think these big thoughts, but then it wasn't fully worked out or things weren't always that clear. And so I felt a lot of times like I just got lost in confusion and had a hard time enjoying it because I was like, I think I'm supposed to understand this, but I don't know why. Like it wasn't that sort of confusion, that sort of fun and exciting. It just felt more like, why do they keep quoting Ozymandias? Like I just sort of felt that ultimately about it.
It's never a good sign.
No good people ever do.
Well, we asked, moving on, we asked you guys, I asked you a month ago at this point, of our new categories, minus the last four or five, because they didn't exist yet, and we didn't want to spoil them for you, which of our new categories do you think should be either bonus or become candidate? Essentially, which one should
be? Right, because we're about to switch up the category a little bit, the categories a little bit more, and make the scoring system a lot more Byzantine and confusing.
Absolutely. So do you have any guesses on which ones people were like higher?
Higher as in like people they wanted to keep or wanted to...
The ones people want to keep.
I would imagine that, let me see.
There's Gay Icons, Billboard, Dramatic Smoking, Flashback, You Gave It to Me, Animal Print, Rice Smiles, Party Drugs, Musical Callbacks, Weird Line Deliveries, Intensely Close Conversations, Real Bodies, Sing-Along Factor, Solo Bedroom Dancing, Awkward PDA, and Flaming Gaze.
Of those, I would say, that people want. People are like, we want more of this. I would say, I bet Solo Bedroom Dancing did well. Maybe Party Drugs. Sing-Along Factor. I don't know. How is it? I can't tell.
Well, you are close.
Okay-ish. All right.
I'll just go through the top five. These are the top five vote getters. Number five with four votes for this, Solo Bedroom Dancing. With seven votes, Dramatic Smoking.
Oh, okay.
Both tied the next. Tied for second with nine votes. Gay Icons.
Okay.
And Literal or Figurative Flaming Queens.
Okay.
And number one, with a whopping 12 votes, Animal Print.
Okay, all right. So these people want these to move into bonus or into canon?
Well, I guess that's what you and I will decide between now and our next recording. But I think they will; those top five will for sure be represented on one of those two, I would say.
Yeah.
I think that's probably safe to say. I think Animal Print was the real shocker, but then I was thinking about it. I was like, well, that is like divine, and there is like, it is like Animal Print is inherently campy.
Yes, that's true. From Cats.
And it's also like tacky. You know what I mean? But then it can be classy, but then it's also gross.
Right, when you think about it.
You know what I mean?
Right. If it's real Animal Print. Yeah.
I guess I'm saying Animal Print contains multitudes.
There's a lot to unpack with an Animal Print, I guess, and explore.
There's a lot to explore. And don't we love that in a print?
Exactly.
Tartan? It just, you can't do that with tartan.
It interests the eye. You know what I mean? It just really kicks you in. Was there any sort of voting of like categories people didn't want anymore or people were sort of sick
of? No, people were very positive.
Okay.
We also didn't ask frame it that way.
Well, there you go.
So there you go. But I think we know.
We know. Yeah. So our next episode, we're going to, there's going to be exciting shakeup. Things are going to be a little different. So look forward to that next week.
Yeah. Do we know what the movie is next week?
We do not. We do not know the movie yet, but it's going to be great.
All right.
Yeah. Awesome. And so, let us know. Please rate, subscribe, and all that fun stuff. It helps people find the podcast and discover the fun we're having. If you have any questions or thoughts, you can email us at twooldqueens. That's T-W-O, oldqueens@gmail.com.
Or you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at twooldqueens, T-W-O, oldqueens. And also follow me on Letterboxd, which is the film social media app. And I maintain the current rankings on there.
Awesome.
You can see them there. But that's it. We'll see you next time, guys. Thanks for sitting through Queen's Choice.
Yes.
I hope it was a hoot. It was nice to
overall, how did those did those movies all do? I know Clue got high.
Clue is number two. Batman Forever is nine.
Sergeant Pepper's is 11 or 12
with 71.46. And then Poor Alien Covenant, 29.
All right.
Okay. A movie that only I like, but I don't
care. Not true.
It's fine.
You're not quite the victim you like to paint yourself out to be.
I'm no victim. I never claimed to be a victim.
Okay.
I'm just the only one who's right.
All right, cool.
All right, we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.
Take me home.
Country roads.
West Virginia,
to the place,
Mama.
Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Connie Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie. Bye. Bye. We didn't get that right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.